You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Services do need to put people on.
Okay, so several advocacy groups are forming the Healthy Streets Alliance Auckland to encourage street safety and slower speeds. I spoke to Ali Craft, urban designer at ME Cagney, sustainable transport consultancy and member of Women in Urbanism, about Auckland's road safety. I started by asking her to tell me what the Healthy Streets Alliance Auckland is.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so the Healthy Street Alliance Auckland, it advocates for cities that are healthy through enabling walking, cycling and public transport. And it kind of came about because of the Safer Speed campaign that AT is running. And the main thing is that, like, if you actually truly want to enable walking and cycling, it's really important to reduce traffic speeds and volumes. You can't just separate everywhere. If you actually want to enable walking, it's about reducing those speeds to make it an environment that's positive and a nice place to be around.
How unsafe would you say that our current speeds are?
Oh, well, I mean, you just have to look at road deaths in New Zealand. I think was it 380? I should have that fact on, it's on the front of the website. But the problem is also in like an urban context, it's more pedestrians and cyclists who die as well. So yeah, we're concerned about that.
So do you think that some groups are excluded from places in Auckland by the dominance of cars?
Yeah, well, one of the things, like, there's kind of eight elements to, like, why we should reduce speed. And there's, like, one, that slow speeds are safer speeds. Like, we know that if you reduce speeds, the likelihood and the frequency of crashes reduces. And that's obviously because the severity of the impact is reduced. But also, like, if people are travelling at slower speeds, they can slow down a lot easier. But then also, like, the one in terms of women in urbanism, we see slow streets as equitable streets because, like, there's actually certain people who cannot or choose not to travel by car. And when we have a city designed for the car, it's not an equitable city. And even from, like, women in urbanism perspective, women walk, cycle and use public transport more than men. But it's also, like, the kind of thing, as we have an ageing population, like, we've got to consider that there's going to be people who lose their licence, and we need a city that they can still get around. And even children, like, someone has to voice an opinion for them. And if you ask kids, they think Sustrans in England did a study and they asked kids about their journeys to schools, and the kids who got to travel by walking and cycling were just so much more excited about their travels than those who sat at the back of the car.
So what do you think that AT should be doing to make the cities more equitable?
So I guess, like, the way that they're going about it is we're really congratulating them for even starting this communication, because it stems out of the idea of, like, Vision Zero, which is, like, we should accept no road deaths. So there's a lot of other industries that if they had the amount of deaths that we do have in our industry, like, it wouldn't be tolerated. And so that one thing that they're kind of addressing, the, I think, 700 kilometres of what's been identified as the most highly dangerous areas. But we also think that we should have just, like, default safe speeds in our town centres and around schools. And so that's something we'd like to encourage AT to do in the long term. But, like, at this moment, we just really want to encourage them with what they're doing.
So I also just want to ask you, how does our reliance on cars affect our health and the environment's health?
Oh, I mean, it's huge. I mean, I think it's, like, 38% of Auckland's emissions come from cars. And it's actually that it's the motorised car transport that's the issue, in terms of, like, it causes, if we look at, like, the car itself, it induces, like, land use where it's, like, very sprawling. And we've, since the car was invented, instead of valuing proximity, which was around when, you know, everyone was on foot, we started valuing the distance to the city. And so suddenly destinations were a lot further apart and people had become so car-reliant. And cars have a huge impact. Like, if you look per mode, they have a lot more carbon emissions than other modes. And also, it's like, in terms of car dependency is an issue, like physical activity, that's obviously a health issue. There's obviously the road crashes, but it's also, like, air quality is a big issue that people don't really get, because it's at a population level. And we also don't know the effect of noise, but even severance, and obviously climate change is the big elephant in the room that often people talk about, but whether it's central to policies in us is something we could question.
Do you think that people making a switch to public transport instead of using cars is a valuable thing to be doing?
Oh, most definitely. Like, that's the thing is, like, it's even, like, even if you just take it down to purely space allocation, like, the amount of space or the amount of, like, a land you have to take over to move people by car compared to in a public transport is just huge. And, like, we also encourage public transport because often it involves the first and last mile that is a walking or cycling trip to public transport anyway. So it's actually a really promoting health as well.
And so are there any additional comments that you'd like to make?
I just thought I'd say, like, that, you know, some of the stats, 80% of trips under 2 kilometres are made by cars in New Zealand, and that's not really the healthiest way. And we really need to look at those leading causes of death in perspective. And, like, physical, getting people physically active has not only obviously physical health benefits, but it also has mental health benefits. And I would encourage people to check out the website. There's kind of like 8 key reasons why we should have slower speeds. And I think a lot of people, I thought I'd say, is a lot of people get concerned about, oh, if we lower the speed, it will affect the journey times. But there's a lot more things such as, like, the how often you see intersections or how often, how busy the traffic is, that really impacts journey times more. So I think that people really, their concerns about that it's going to take a lot longer for their journey time is very questionable. And the main thing is that this is just the first of hopefully lots of campaigns, and, like I said, to enable those healthy modes of walking and cycling, reducing traffic speeds and volumes, and creating environments where we can enable those modes is really crucial. So this is one of many campaigns, hopefully.
That's very interesting.
It is. I like personally find it super interesting, but it can be really difficult for people to relate to because it's such population level issues, you know, that getting people walking and cycling addresses.
Yeah.
So, you know, selling it for, like, the fact that actually it makes you happy or it's a more positive environment to be around is actually a really cool thing. And, yeah, so I really would encourage people to look through the kind of 8 points of why we should have healthier streets.
Mm, I think people really think it's out of their control as well.
Yeah, it is, but you can always do the consultation, and it's been pretty positive. I mean, this is quite high level, but the government policy statement changed last year, and that's where you see the transport priorities for the government, and there was a real shift. I think even at, like, a political level, they realised that traffic efficiency, meaning moving cars as fast as possible, is just, like, induced demand. There's just so many reasons why it doesn't work, and so it's really cool to see that there's more of a focus of access. Like, maybe we don't actually need to travel so far, maybe we can live closer, you can live, work, play and learn in the same areas. And also the safety element, that it's no longer just about car crashes, it's about enabling those other modes and keeping those people who choose those other modes safe.
There's a lot that goes into it, yeah.
That's what I mean. It's like it's a big chat, and even things like slow streets for children. So if we think of, there's a concept called, like, independent mobility, and it's where parents 30 years ago used to be able to wander and roam a lot more than the kids now. And I think that when they looked into the studies, like, most of the reasons why parents won't let their kids roam is because of traffic safety concerns. So it's pretty sad about that. Like, it's pretty important for kids to be able to go out and play and do what they want. Or streets used to be, if you look at old day photos from Europe, it was all about, you know, the streets were for people, and that's what we've got to remember, is that it's public land streets.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.